Our summaries this week contain two cases on civil procedure. In Shelter Mutual Automobile Insurance Company v. Bagot, 2022 ARC 149, the Arkansas Supreme Court affirmed a class certification order of a lawsuit alleging that Shelter improperly reduced $5,000 medical payments coverage limits by reductions arising from other insurer payments. The complaint sounded in contract and for unjust enrichment. Justice Wood addressed the requirements in Arkansas Rule of Civil Procedure 23. Quote, the lead plaintiff, Samuel Bagot, was injured in a car wreck and incurred medical expenses. Bagot had medical payments insurance coverage as part of his automobile coverage with Shelter Mutual Insurance Company. The coverage had a $5,000 policy limit. Although Bagot's initial medical bills for his injuries exceeded $5,000, Shelter issued him two checks totaling almost $2,000. Shelter determined this amount equaled Bagot's out-of-pocket medical expenses, but Bagot contended Shelter owed him the entire $5,000. He thus filed a class action against Shelter, alleging it had a practice of reducing its medical payments coverage from the original billed amount to a discounted amount that embraced credits, write-offs, and payments from third parties like other medical insurance companies. The circuit court found the class size would contain at least 100 members and that it may substantially exceed that number. Shelter's own director of litigation estimated the class could reach 15,000. The circuit court did not abuse its discretion when it concluded these numbers satisfied the numerosity requirement. Shelter also argues that the class representatives aren't adequate. It argues Bagot's criminal convictions, he committed three felonies, bar him from serving as the class representative. Shelter says Bagot has credibility problems. It also contends Lee is an inadequate representative because she couldn't identify the policy language that supports her claim and doesn't understand her claim of unjust enrichment. Here, both Lee and Bagot testified they would be willing to attend hearings and trial. They both said they had a basic understanding of what the case was about. The court heard their testimony and believed that both would be adequate representatives. As an appellate court, we declined to go behind the certification order and reweigh credibility. And the bar to qualify as a class representative is low. This court has permitted a person with a mental illness to serve as class representative because no facts showed her inability to act in the class's best interest, her unfamiliarity with the lawsuit, or a misunderstanding of her duties. Advance America Servicing of Arkansas, Inc. v. McGinnis, 2009 ARC 151. Lee's inability here to understand an insurance contract or explain the contours of an unjust enrichment claim does not bar her from being the class representative. End of quote. Shelter argued that individual defenses of the statute of limitations, standing, and accord and satisfaction prohibited class certification, but the Supreme Court disagreed. Quote, generally, the existence of affirmative defenses won't limit a class action so long as those defenses are secondary to the common question. End of quote. Shelter argued there was insufficient commonality because Shelter would ultimately win on the merits. Quote, our law is clear that class certification has nothing to do with the merits of the claim. Shelter argues that individualized issues about each class member's particular claim, for example, whether a class member even has standing to make a claim, would make class-wide adjudication impossible. For this same reason, Shelter argues, the class action would not be a superior method to resolve each class member's claim. These arguments do not convince us that the court abused its discretion when it concluded that common issues predominated and the class action mechanism was superior. Whether Shelter's policy and practice breached the contract or caused unjust enrichment predominates over individual questions like lack of standing and other affirmative defenses. End of quote. Justice Baker dissented and reasoned individual class member issues predominated over collective ones. Chief Justice Kemp and Justice Womack joined in dissent without a separate opinion. End of decision. In the Travelers Indemnity Company versus the Board of Trustees of the University of Arkansas, 2022 ARC 146, the Arkansas Supreme Court, in considering an interlocutory appeal based upon disqualification of an attorney, reversed the trial court's order that withdrew approval of a pro hoc vici petition. While including hyperlinks in a pleading violated Administrative Order No. 21, Section 9, it did not implicate professional conduct. Justice Hudson wrote, "We agree that the circuit court abused its discretion by revoking Goldman's pro hoc vici admission. The circuit court did not find that Goldman had committed any violation of the Arkansas Rules of Professional Conduct. Instead, the circuit court, without giving notice to appellants or an opportunity for them to be heard, summarily concluded that the failure to comply with an electronic filing provision warranted the disqualification of Goldman simply because he was listed as one of the signers of the motion. This ruling was a drastic measure that does not comport with the provisions in Rule 14G regarding revocation of a non-resident attorney's admission. Thus, we reverse the circuit court's ruling disqualifying Goldman from representing Travelers and remand." End of quote. A second issue was whether the trial court erred in only allowing vaccinated jurors, but it is not appealable at this time. Quote, "While we have jurisdiction to consider the attorney disqualification issue pursuant to Rule 2A8, which is also the only issue that was designated in appellant's notice of appeal, a review of the circuit court's denial of Travelers' objection to the exclusion of unvaccinated jurors is beyond the scope of this limited appeal." End of quote. A concurring opinion, written by Justice Webb, agreed there was an abuse of discretion but reasoned the court should hear the juror question. Quote, "I agree that the issue is not properly before the court on appeal. However, we have the authority to act as we see fit due to our superintending control over all courts in the state and the ability to address actions of judicial policy at any time and for any reason." End of quote. Justice Womack partially concurred but also dissented, writing, "I agree that the circuit court abused its discretion by arbitrarily revoking Stephen Goldman's pro hoc vici admission. However, I respectfully disagree with the majority's holding that we cannot entertain the circuit court's unlawful vaccination policy on interlocutory appeal. While the majority is correct that consideration of the policy is outside the scope of appeal as contemplated by the rules of appellate procedure, our superintending control over all courts in the state authorizes this court to address the merits of the policy at any time. Arkansas Constitution Amendment 80, Section 4." End of quote, end of decision.